Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Migs Cast, and I am Steve Migs, and I'm here with the Reverend Enfuego.
Hello!
Glenn Cannon.
Hi.
Oh, it's good. Good days. Good days today, I think. I'm excited about today's podcast, although I think we might have a little bit of a dilemma.
What?
Is Glenn Cannon going to be Glenn Cannon, member of the Migs Cast?
Oh.
Or is it going to be Glenn Cannon, member of Windowpane, because we've got Windowpane in studio.
Yeah!
I think I'll be member of the Migs Cast, and then I can just interview Windowpane.
I'm okay with this.
And you guys just be like, yeah, Glenn couldn't make it today.
Yes, Glenn from Windowpane is not here. Glenn from the Migs Cast is here.
Glenn's like, so what's it like to work with Glenn Cannon?
Yeah.
Silence. Just silence. Next question. Do you miss him? Continued silence.
Right. Like, that was a fun interview. We actually got to answer some questions. Glenn wasn't there. Yeah.
Well, we could do like a game show and just kick me out of the room for a minute. And I'll do that. I'll go sit and look in through the window, man. I will.
Oh, like a window pane dating game.
Yeah.
See how well they know each other.
Oh, man.
Ooh. This would have been fun. Why didn't we think of this ahead of time?
I don't know.
Because this is where our most brilliant ideas come when we're in here.
You know, I'm going to go online and see if there's like dating game
questions.
I'm
just pleased he's not making us do a spelling bee, Rev.
This is the beginning of the show, yes?
Yeah.
Ah, see?
Oh, yeah. See how it starts, yes.
Oh. Ooh, I got some. Oh, there we go.
I got 60 exciting dating game questions.
Sweet. All right, let's do this. Like 4 or 5 episodes ago, Steve and I put Justin and I in like a spelling contest.
Yeah. It was bad.
Literally. I don't know. And he had theme music and everything. Like, so obviously he had planned this for some time.
I did.
And I think the number of F-bombs we almost dropped while tracking that show, because every word he said, either Rev or I'd be like, fuh.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'd hear us go, oh, you did not just ask me to spell exuberant, you know?
And then if they got it right, we heard this sound effect. See?
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah.
There it is. Of silence.
You rock.
And then if they got it wrong.
Suck.
Yeah, so Stewie screaming, you suck.
There's usually a lot of suck.
I'd be like, F-R, you suck. Like, you know, I wouldn't even have. Steve was pretty relentless.
Here's the first question for our dating game. What is your idea of a romantic evening? We'll start with you, brand new member, Noah Phipps.
You know, romantic evening typically involves me sitting down on my drum throne and grabbing a hold of a pair of sticks.
Nice.
That's hot.
Drumsticks, right?
It's kind of going, it's feeling very Top Gun right now.
That's hot.
It's like the volleyball scene from Top Gun.
It is.
I've got the weirdest boner.
We're Ziggy when we need him.
All right. Let's see what our next one. This one's for, do you prefer Chris or Kristen?
Whatever you prefer.
Well, because I was in a band with a guy named Matthew, and if anyone said, hey, Matt, he's like, my name's Matthew, and it would always get awkward, so I want to make sure I say it.
I think it was like when I joined, like Glenn was asking me, I'm like, whatever you want. He's like, just tell me something. Tell me, what you want to be Chris or Kristen? I don't care.
It's whatever you feel.
It's driving
me crazy. Well, that devolved into a nickname that I won't share here because I don't want people outside the band walking up to Chris and calling him that nickname.
Nah.
But at the time, you know, Mark Harris was still working with us.
Uh-huh.
And so Chris was like, dude, I truly don't care. It's all good, brother. And Mark was like, well, then we'll just call you blank. And believe it or not, that stuck.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, that's private for us. That's not for our listeners. I'm sorry, man, because...
All right,
I can't have that on my conscience.
For Kristen, where is the perfect date spot?
Mm, Dick's Burgers.
Nice.
It's gone so well. All right, this one's for Tony. What are your favorite women's scents?
Women's scents?
Yeah, like a scent.
Common.
Or, did you say condoms?
Common.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
That escalated quickly.
I didn't mean to jump in on that. Man.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
Probably just because it takes me back to being at the swimming pool when I was 12 years old and really started noticing women.
Chlorine?
That smell of that. yeah, totally.
That's better than
well,
the
Well, it's more like chloroform. Yeah.
but, no, that coconut oil suntan.
Oh, yes.
When I was a kid, the first time that I'd see women, you know, wearing a two-piece or something, and they're all tan, and I'd smell that smell. Yeah, so to this day, still, you know, I'm 12-year-old Tony trying to hide my stuff with my folder, you know.
When you smell that it does call. You're absolutely right, man. Yeah.
See, it triggers something different for me because I used to work on the boardwalk over at Manhattan Beach, kind of by Coney Island and all that. And a guy that would come all the time, this gay dude, he lathered up with that coconut oil.
So you smell Tropicana, you think of something else.
Right, with a pink Speedo. And I would never forget this guy because sometimes he'd show up with flowers and he would give me one. And he'd tell me he's working at some club. If I want more flowers, to meet him at this club. And I'm like, yeah.
I'm good with the one flower, brother. I'm good with the one flower, but thanks, man.
And he would always get a Diet Coke, and he would ask me to pop it because he didn't want to break a nail. Yeah. So that's what I think of when I smell coconut oil.
And I'm sorry that that dude ruined Tropicana for you.
No, it's like one of my favorite scents because of that.
I should have brought you a flower, Holmes.
Dude, he was shredded, and he was nice and tan, and looked good in that pink Speedo.
Man, the only time I've ever seen a Speedo out in the wild, other than like in the wild. Well, yeah, like not in a
revs in a tree stand, you know,
not in like at a pool meet or something like that. Was in Hawaii, where it's like all of the Europeans would come for vacation, and they were the only ones that were wearing Speedos everywhere.
I remember being on the beach in the UK as a kid. I was over there visiting family. And I got asked so many times where my bathing suit was because I was American and I was wearing a swim trunks, as I think they're properly called.
Yeah.
I was the only cat there, not in a Speedo. So everyone would come up like, hey, mate, where's your bathing suit? And I'm like, yeah, this is what we wear where I'm from. Like, you know, I remember that. Like, I was totally the weirdo in the shorts, you know?
And like, I still would be. It'd be like the longboard shorts or like the cargo shorts. I'll go swimming in cargo shorts.
Oh, dude, these days I'd be out there in a burka.
Yeah. You know, man?
All right, now our question for Glenn.
Oh, no.
A kid comes up to you and kicks you in the shin. What do you do?
I put a plastic bag over his head and tell him to go play in traffic.
Yep.
Everybody, welcome window pane. I'm excited to have you guys here, man. This is awesome.
Thanks for having us. Oh, wait. No, thanks for having you.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, Glenn, you got to stay on a microphone. You're interviewing the band.
I don't want
to. You have to.
I don't believe I'm sitting next to Glenn Cannon.
Oh, my God. Said no one ever.
So it's this Friday night. The Crocodile, the big final release show, and also the show that unveils your new drummer, Noah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where do we start? So we start finding Noah.
Oh. You find you're punching a microphone?
Thursdays on NBC, Finding Noah.
When I was 4 years old, I was under the stairs at my grandpa's house. Yeah, no.
Or just the excitement about putting out a record on vinyl.
Yeah, well, there's so much to talk about with that.
There is. There's the vinyl thing. There's the journey getting to Noah. We're playing a brand new song too, man. Like we had a night where we just started flowing, and it's all good stuff, man. I mean, that's hopping around multiple topics, but things are good.
Yeah, let's start with Noah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's start with Noah.
Let's do that.
The man with the throne and the sticks.
Yes.
So let's start from Noah's perspective. When did you find out that Windowpane needed a drummer, and what was your thoughts, and what was the process for you?
So during the time that I found out about it, I was pretty much in the same kind of mindset that they've explained of, like, going through so many people trying to find something. You know, I had hopeful times, and then it would go down again. And throughout this whole time, I was working with Will Andrews, my drum instructor. And so just he saw me working and just...
He's not that good of a drummer, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm normally there to teach him.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so
I love you, Will. Thanks for listening.
Freaking amazing, side note. He's like my favorite drummer in town.
Yes, of course, yeah. He that was pretty much the start of this, was meeting him, and he helped me kind of make the connection and told me, you know, just got some songs that we really care about, and I, you know, came in there and played them, you know, the way they're meant to be. My mind, you know, went hard.
Yeah, this was one of those things. Well, no,
went
really
hard.
When Noah came down, we had, you know, we'd had a kind of a long, weird, rough
ride getting to that point with various auditions. And
how much do you want to talk about that long, rough ride?
We can talk a bit about that.
What you want to hear.
Yeah.
I know some of it, and I feel like some
Steve
of it...
Steve knows more of it than most, actually.
Some of it is like straight out of like a weird mockumentary about a band. Like, it's insane, some of the
We
should have
been
heard.
Filming the whole time. Yeah. Yeah, actually. You know,
like, this trumped the bassist search for Some Kind of Monster with Metallica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, those guys had it easy.
Did. They did.
Yeah. That was nothing.
Yeah, Pool come in. They're like, you're too good. Get out of right. here.
Pepper wow. Keenan. Ah, you're good, yeah. I guess.
Well, it basically started, we assigned with this a new agency. And the whole point is to get us out on the road as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, that it's not an instantaneous process.
And this was several months ago.
Yeah.
Maybe like a year ago.
6 months ago,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, okay.
And then, but that started moving at full speed right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even of course, our fans are, when's the tour? So, well, guys, it takes a minute. But so while this was coming down the path, Sean really started looking at his life and what was about to happen, living a life on the road. And Sean has a 3-year-old little girl.
And Sean's the drummer on the
yeah,
left.
Yeah, yeah. Sean's our previous drummer.
Been with you guys for several
drummer.
Years. Yep.
Yeah. And so Sean started looking at that, and he's like, man, I don't want to miss my little girl growing up because we're going to be on the road a lot.
Yeah.
And so... He shot us that call is right before Christmas. So we were, of course, like, Merry Christmas, guys.
Christmas.
You know, we didn't
Pretty
even
much.
Tell Chris
yeah.
until after Christmas. It's
yeah, Tony and I, that was a conscious decision. Tony yeah. and I were like, let's tell Chris after. Let's not ruin his Christmas.
I'm driving
yeah.
home from work.
Yeah, seriously.
After all that. Like, I'm driving home from work the day that we're supposed to practice. I'm like, hey, guys, so when we meet up at the room, Glenn's like, I'll give you a call as soon as I can. Like 3 hours later,
Radio
I'm like, I gotta get going if I'm gonna leave. He's like, yeah, so this happened. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm gonna eat a sandwich then.
don't come to rehearsal, bro.
When times are tough, I eat too.
Yes.
I know the feeling. So then it's like, okay, now we got to figure out what we're going to do because we just signed
time,
with a touring
we had
agency.
We had a 42-day tour lined up for March.
Yeah. So it was panic.
And it was really, and at this point, he was like, yeah, man, I don't even think I can do that tour. Which later on, Sean had said, dude, I can definitely do that tour. Sorry about that. But at the time, we were in straight up panic.
Well, and, you know, there was.
Did you ever think about maybe bringing the kid on the road, make as a touring merchandise seller?
There we go.
Yes, I was going to say, I mean, really, like, you know, and Sean's family, so privacy is important, but he was dealing with a lot of things.
Yeah.
His daughter was a main factor in all that, but he was dealing with a lot of stuff. And he's fine, everyone. No one worry, but there was some medical stuff as well, and it literally turned into, I'm not sure I can tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, dude, we're supposed to hit the road. I think it was like at the end of February through March.
Yeah, it was coming
and
up.
It was a long one, and so we were completely panicked and began reaching out to anyone who could possibly sub. Of course, Will Andrews, one of the first ones we called, but
mm-hmm.
we now know he was in the walking papers now and was doing yep. those tours. But at the time, he's like, I've got something really big that I can't talk about, but I may not be available,
yeah.
but I'm always here for you guys. And so that was,
right.
you know. And so
I mean, they had a little tour with Alice in Chains. I mean,
right, the small thing.
I don't know why he would say no.
Yeah, right?
Well, honestly, I think if he had the freedom, he probably would have come along to bail us out. He literally
sure.
wasn't
no,
in a position.
Yeah,
he was like, don't ever not call me were his exact words. God bless him, right? So
yeah.
we began the process of kind of, at first there was a bit of a holding pattern to see where Sean would be in a week or two, in a month, and a lot of radio silence while he got his stuff figured out and just us really hanging in limbo. It was a challenging, kind of dark time. And we began the audition process. And, you know, I think Tony and I really reflected on this. We've been really lucky. Like way, way back when Brian Muir, Windowpane's original drummer, flipped out and quit, we had Mike Ektenkamp. We were playing a show a month later.
That's when I first knew you guys and met you guys was when Mike was in the band.
That's when we caught fire. That's really when the band caught fire. Mike had a lot to do with that. And when Mike left, you know, Tony had been working with Kevin Royt and Tony's project Of Another, which I was a member of. Kevin was remarkably talented. So when, you know, when
Mike left.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. When Mike was like, guys, I think I need to step down. Kevin was right there. Boom, bang. Off
Easy
to the
transition.
Races.
Yeah.
When Kevin lost his mind and left, you know, we did a brief audition process, but Sean was like, what, the third guy we had down or something?
Yeah, we kind of saw.
Third or fourth guy?
We saw it coming with Kevin about a month or so before.
Yeah.
You know, so we had already started the process and we already had our guy.
We got really lucky, basically. This time around, we did not experience that. We had a lot of people down that we were hopeful about that just, you know, it was tough. You know, it's a couple of them were big surprises. We had a couple guys down that just killed it. And then we were like, we would love to have you. Can you at least come do this tour? And then we'd like to maybe have you join the project. And ooh, well, I get a week's vacation every year. It's like, bro, we're trying to become a working band. I just quit my job. I'm driving Uber Lyft so we can do this.
Right.
All of us are just trying to set ourselves up so we can go to work. And a lot of these guys were mega talented, but had to pass on that. We had
life got in the way for them.
Some guys came and auditioned and enjoyed that, and then immediately realized, man, I don't have the heart to bail on the project I'm in to come play with you guys. So there was this long road, and then we did end up with a guy that we actually gave the job. And that started out great and just got really, really weird really fast.
Can we talk about how weird it got or no?
I think we can.
As long as we don't mention any names.
We won't mention.
Nobody knows
right.
who he is, and no one was aware that it was ever happening.
Yeah, so
we could keep it vague. But there's part of that story that's like straight up out of like Spinal Tap, or it's the most insanely hilarious. But I'm not funny for you guys, I would imagine.
No, it wasn't very funny.
Will make for good cast material.
But as an outsider, it was hilarious.
Looking back,
yes, exactly.
So we had gotten so heartbroken. I mean, you got to imagine Tony, Chris, and I like leaving the rehearsal space, going and sitting at the siren, having a drink, and going, "Oh my God, what are we gonna do? What are we going
right.
to do?
We have this incredible opportunity in front of us, but you kind of need a drummer to do it."
You know, at the time,
everything's ramping up.
We didn't know what was going on. We did have shows on the books. We didn't know if Sean was even going to be able to honor those yet, which Sean did come through beautifully, honored a bunch of our outstanding obligations, came down and shot a video. Mm-hmm. So once he got through the storm, Sean really came through and shined for us, which was awesome. But in the interim, so we were so broken that we were like, let's just have them, even if it's on a cell phone, let's have them shoot a video of them performing at least underfoot. And if they can get through underfoot, then we'll have them down, because some of these auditions were so painful. And
let me grab underfoot just so people can understand. I think anyone...
It's a challenging piece of music.
It's one of my favorite Windowpane songs, but the drums are... You're putting on a clinic, and I don't think people realize that when they just listen to it like in the background.
Well, and like here's an example. We had some talented guys down. I'm not saying anything negative about them, but you hear this intro. So we had two different guys come down, and we're setting up, and we're like, what do you want to start with? And they'd say, well, let's start with underfoot. And they'd say, but by the way, I don't play double bass. And we go, well, okay, the whole intro, the song... Yeah, I don't do that. I don't play double bass.
I beatbox that part.
Yeah. And to me, it was like the parallel I drew. It'd be like me joining Metallica and seeing like day one at Metallica rehearsal being like, oh, sorry, guys, I only play acoustic. Right. You know, like, so we.
But that, I really shred.
That happened twice, you know.
I play promise. The ukulele. I swear, so, though. Don't worry.
We asked this. We started saying, you know, on a go forward, let's have people at least on a cell phone. I don't care how it sounds. At least see if they can play it. Let's send us underfoot.
Right. Don't waste our time.
That way
you don't waste your time and our time.
It had gotten dark. I mean, I'm really shortening the story. Me, Tony, and Chris had a long, cold, dark, bitter, salty, painful.
Ooh, salty.
Winter.
Yeah. But I think that's like a life lesson for anyone. If you're going to go for anything, make sure you're prepared.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if I'm going to go try and be a part of something, I'm not going to go into it going, I don't know, man, I'll see what happens. We'll just throw some stuff against the wall and see if it sticks. Like, I'm going to make sure I'm going to do everything I can to do what is expected of me.
We were shocked by some of these guys, too, because they're in good bands in this scene. Guys who, you know, were like, oh, man, he's going to be killer.
Yeah, there were a few.
And then,
well, it also lends also to, I mean, I know you could attest to this, but in the world of drumming, certain drummers work for certain bands, but won't work at all for other.
That's
what we found.
I feel like that's the argument you could have with like some like, you know, the recent Pearl Jam music sounds great with Matt Cameron, but when he does Evenflow, it doesn't feel the same. Yeah, and it's not because he's a bad drummer. He's, in fact, way better than any drummer they've ever had, but... There's a certain thing. He doesn't have that certain swing to his style.
I'm an Abruzzese guy.
Yeah, see, I'm a cruising guy. Yeah.
Cruising's killer. I mean, you can't take the tennis. You can't say anything bad about tennis.
At some point, we'll probably have to talk a little bit about my recent Pearl Jam experience with a WWE wrestler, Becky Lynch. And
I saw the photos.
We'll have to definitely talk about that. Yeah. But like, it gave me, I've been listening to nothing but 10.
Oh, yeah.
Because 10's of the experience incredible. That we had and really zoning in on Dave's drumming. And it's just, Yeah, he's not a perfect drummer.
That's a great drummer.
But he's perfect for that band.
Oh, you and so, I have had the Steven Adler conversations.
There's none better for Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, exactly.
Matt Sorum's a way more talented drummer, but he can't do what Steven Adler did.
Yeah, everyone has their thing, you know. Yep. But so we had this guy down, and we had him shoot a video for us, and he nailed it. And so we had him down, and we played that song, and it went really well. And at that point, we were so broken, and it had been really disheartening, really disheartening. They were like, boom, you've got the job, start learning songs.
It's an oasis in the desert at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened after that?
Thanks, man.
Every rehearsal, it was slow going, really slow going, and it seemed like, take time, learn the material. And then the discussion was, well, can I put my own inflection on this stuff? Can I be myself? Absolutely be yourself, but learn the material, learn the core of the material. Well, that was kind of a 50-50 walk.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt great. Like, the guy could really play. He had great chops, great pocket, great groove. Everything was exciting, but the rate of progress was remarkably slow. And it was a lot of, oh, I had notes, but I forgot them. And, oh, this happened, and, oh, that happened. And we'd play through songs, and, man, I'm exhausted. Let's take a break. And what we really noticed was this dude was smoking more weed than Cheech and Chong put together.
Oh, there you go.
Just smoking and smoking and smoking. And then...
Well, that's what you do in a band, right?
Yeah,
so finally, right. So then 6 weeks go by. 6 weeks of us working with a drummer. We had planned it. We were going to have him play shows.
That's a long time.
We're still working.
That's a lot of pot.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to champion Noah here in a second. We were still playing the same six songs. And when we brought up additional songs that we had mentioned having this guy learn, he was like, oh, well, I've listened to it 100 times, so I haven't had a chance to work on it. And yeah, you know, and he had a lot of other stuff going on at home. I mean, so finally, you know, every rehearsal started off bumpy, and then we'd take five, and then he'd smoke a fat bowl and come in, and then it was pretty much over because he was playing so badly that it was pointless to continue.
Oh, no.
And so finally one night we were like, hey, man, look. Here's what we're feeling. It's been 6 weeks. We're still working on the same six songs, and he got really, really defensive, very aggressive and defensive with us. And during all that, I said, well, look, man, you know, it's great that you smoke weed. That's totally fine. Could you please not do it before or during rehearsals or before a show? And he flipped out.
Oh, his body language immediately changed. He slumped over, stared at his snare, and both Glenn and I kind of shot each other a look. Like, what just happened, dude?
Yeah.
It was crazy, too, when we first started talking to him. We were coming from a really cool place. We're like, hey, man, what can we do to help you?
We were going
to
buy him a $2,000 drum set, by the way.
We were going to buy him a kit, too.
I'd stop smoking pot for a $2,000
drum set. Right? Isn't that worth at least at practice, maybe? You know?
Yeah.
Afterwards.
At least it's 2 out of 3 practices.
We got to There were three different shows. You know, we had a Portland show. We had a couple shows in Idaho. Then we had the Save the Seven benefit,
yep.
You know. And each one of those were like, cool, man, you'll be ready by Portland. That'll be our first. Okay, that's not going to happen. Cool, man, you'll be ready by Idaho. Okay, that's not going to happen. Sean, thanks, Sean. Sean, thanks.
Yep.
And then, then by the time I got to the Studio 7, it's like we have half an hour set. Half an hour.
We couldn't play it.
And he wasn't quite ready for it. At this point, it was like, man, we've been cool enough. It's time to have a talk.
We need to have this conversation.
And we were very, very chill about it. We're like, what can we do to help,
man? Yeah, mega supportive, dude. Really cool.
Like, man, we can set up headphones here. Glenn can run a cable from your iPad to the PA so you can play along while we're not here. Well, I'd rather be here with you guys. And we're like, well, we get that. But, dude, at this point, we already know these songs. The whole point
time is of the essence
of rehearsal is that we get it tight
right
in this moment. You know, the learning part, that's homework.
Do the homework.
That's on you.
You know? Yeah. And then, yeah, as soon as the weed was brought up, it was completely different.
Well, and it was aggressive before that. It was literally, tell me what I'm doing wrong. And we're like, well, it's not feeling right. And then I don't want to go too far into it, but it was very aggressive. It was like, if you can't tell me what I'm doing wrong, how am I supposed to fix it? And Tony put it beautifully. He said, hey, man, look, it's my job to play the guitar. I don't expect you to understand how the guitar works. I don't understand how drums work. All I'm telling you is we're not nailing the gateposts. We're not swinging the songs. We're not hitting the changes. We're floating ones. there's a problem, and I can't tell you specifically what the problem is, but I can
tell you that's a C chord right there.
Yeah, I can tell you it's messed up. I can tell you it's messed up.
These are those moments when you're listening, like we always say, people who are in bands, like being in a band is like being in a relationship, and this is like one of those dysfunctional relationships.
Oh, very much so.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. How can I explain to you what I'm doing wrong?
Dude, I put on the kid gloves big time, and it was like, man, understand, we gave you the job. We're about to invest a small fortune in upgrading your drums so you've got decent gear. We're with you 100%. We want to help you. We want to support you. That's the kind of people we are. Literally trying to calm him down.
Right.
Because he got really aggressive about it.
But what was the line he said? Because like you're saying,
you guys are effing hypocrites. You guys drink and this and that, and you guys are effing hypocrites. And he was very angry when he said it, which kind of made it funny. But he said, you know, weed calms me down.
That's the point.
And he pretty much yelled that.
Weed calms me down.
Do you understand?
Weed keeps me sane.
So, I'd be really angry without this weed. Yeah. Jesus Christ,
So
man.
He called the next day, and it was pretty much a 30-minute. He called me a few hours before rehearsal, and he just ripped my head off. Basically, I'm not your guy. I quit. You guys are hypocrites and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, my God, man, I'm so sorry you feel that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was just a big disconnect there. And honestly, I wish the guy nothing but the best.
Sure.
He's a sweet guy. He is dealing with a lot of stuff in his personal life, some of which is tragic, but, you know, no ill will. But it was a really rough ride, and we went from being extraordinarily excited about this guy to the point where we were going to drop a small fortune on him to being having our heads ripped off by him.
No, it was a roller coaster from my perspective.
And I'm not even talking – it was lighter touch than constructive criticism. It was full-on, hey, bro, look, what can we do? And so, yeah, obviously that just wasn't meant to be. But at that point – you know, it was literally because he called me and quit. Mm-hmm. He called me and basically chewed me out and then quit. I got him talked to. By the end of the conversation, we were actually talking, but the whole front half was him basically just blasting me. Jeez. Like, literally, I've been fuming about this all day, and you guys are hypocrites and blah, 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 and saying I can't smoke weed. I've been high at every rehearsal, and I wanted to be like, yeah, dude, we can tell.
Yeah, we know, yeah.
You know, but I didn't want to say that. Yeah. We were very sweet and very cool as much as we could be about the whole thing. And, at that point, I hit up Will Andrews because Will had texted me in the middle of all this and said, hey, man, if you haven't found your guy yet, I think I've got your guy. One of my students, Noah Phipps, is a hell of a drummer. He was in Blue Helix. He was in Lost Punch. And he's without a project right now. And he's a serious guy. And, of course, I hit him back and said, oh, man, we've actually already got a guy. But thanks. And then, you know, it was like a week or so later, Will hit me up and said, just so you know, for fun, we have been learning some of your songs. And he's killing it.
Look at Will.
He had that sixth
Will's
sense.
He somehow knew.
He's
the drum whisperer.
Dude, Will Kenobi does, man.
Absolutely.
So, you know, then I'm like, oh,
no
dude,
way.
That's...
I didn't know that part. So.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like,
he was already prepping him.
Yeah, he was like, dude, I just want you to know, just for fun, we're already learning some of these songs, and he's really killing it. I'm like, bro, if anything changes, I'll let you know. Uh-huh. So you got to imagine from Will's perspective, another week goes by, and I shoot Will a text, and he's now on tour. I said, okay, the guy we hired flipped out and quit yesterday. Can I get Noah's phone number? And he was like, what? And I'm like, he quit. He flipped out and quit. And he's like, why? And I'm like, things weren't moving along very well. And we tried to have a conversation with him about it. And
I was going to be in window pane, but then I got high.
I was going to learn those songs.
But then I got high.
Dude.
I was going to play underfoot. Then I got high.
I don't know why, but then I got high. And then I would cry.
When I told Will about that, well, it's like when I came in here and told you guys about it.
Yeah.
Will's response was like, you guys. He was like, what?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, we asked him if he wouldn't mind not smoking so much weed. And he lost his mind and quit.
And then went and smoked a big fat bowl because he needed to calm down.
So Will was like, and bless Will's heart, you got to understand, he's on tour with Walking Papers opening for Alice in Chains. And he's like, I'm on it. I'm going to reach out to Noah. I'll talk to Noah. And, you know, and so the next thing you know, Noah and I got on the phone. And even the demeanor, the vibe of that conversation versus what Windowpane had been dealing with in the room for the past 6 weeks was like, oh. Just, hey, man, this is what we're doing, and this is what we're... Like, another thing that came up that was a big point of major contention is, you know, halfway into this, we're like, by the way, dude, you know, band rent for the rehearsal space is $150 a month. And he, again, really kind of, what?
Which is rather reasonable.
What? And he was like, the way he put it was, I have never paid to be in a band in my entire life. And we were like, well, dude, it's not like that.
Wow.
And he's like, why doesn't the band pay for that? And we're like, well, all the money the band makes... goes back into the band. We're growing a business. It's a business, you know. And I was like, you know, you got to understand our quarterly download revenues is all located just of social media spending. I bet Tony drops between $200 and $400 a month just on our social media presence. And he was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, dude, this is, we're trying to grow something. We're trying to really grow our music and our brand. And yeah, so it's, you know, we have to pay to rehearse in this room. It's, well, I've never paid to be in a band before. You guys could have mentioned that. I mean, he got really aggressive about that.
Yeah.
So you got to imagine now I'm talking to Noah. And so now I'm being so far up front. So we pay our own band rent, and you know, and Noah's like, cool. And I'm like, yeah, and we're going to be trying to tour. And Noah's like, and every answer was,
we prefer not to get really freaking high before we play.
Dude, like I think Noah and I discussed everything up front, and it was all 1,000% cool. And then, and to put this in perspective, this is championing Noah. He came in and blew 3 songs completely out of the water.
Nice.
So at that point, we're like, you know, we kind of knew at that moment that we had our guy, but we're like, dude, we'd like to have you back. Would you please learn 3 more songs for next rehearsal? And he went, well, I already know this one, and this one. And we played.
I have 6.
That first night. So 6 weeks. Six weeks.
This is now, go back to the Metallica documentary. It's like, dude, the Robert Trujillo moment where it's like, yeah, I know all these freaking songs. Dude, I'm good.
So in 6 weeks, this we had awesome. 6 songs poorly. One night with Noah, we had 6 songs pretty goddamn good.
Wow.
And so we were like, damn.
Ding, ding.
And so the next, it was like 2 or 3 days later, he came back, played those 6, I think, and a few more. And we hung afterwards, and because of what we had just been through, we didn't want to be like, dude, by the way, you got the job. But I hung out with him. We all kind of hung for
slow
a little while.
Slow roll him a little bit.
Big time. And Noah was kind of, Noah and I were kind of chatting, and I was like,
this joint? You want this joint?
No, there's a needle in the bathroom. Did you just decline that joint? Oh, you're in. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, I just, we were hanging that night, and I just said, dude, when you leave here tonight, please don't be worried about anything. There's nothing more you need to be doing. Just know that we're all really excited. And don't worry about anything. We're all really happy about everything that's going on.
Oh, you're like, well, my wife and girlfriend, chat, when I told her I loved her, and she's like, well, I don't want to say I love you, but just know I really do like being around you.
Well, we were having a cool conversation, and, you know, Noah was straight up like, hey, man, is there anything I should be doing? Do you think I should focus on certain things? Do you think, you know, we're just having that kind of a conversation.
So awesome.
And all I could think to say was, bro,
you've got the
Yeah, so it was the third time he came in when we were like, well, dude, you know, duh. Do you want the job? No, but that was because we were so gun shy because we had had such
I said I love you to the last one way too fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and,
yeah, right?
You know, and it's, that was rough. That was all really rough. But Noah was a ray of sunshine on the backside of that experience, man. I mean, everything got to feel really fun in the room really fast, you know, and now we're right back to just struggling with our PA like we always have. Yeah. It's like business as usual, you know?
So Noah, when you went in on that and on the third, what were you feeling at that point? Because it's got to be interesting when the guys are kind of feeling you and you don't really know what's going on at that point, but...
Yeah, you mean on the third rehearsal?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, of course, show up feeling pretty nervous the very first time. As soon as we started playing, though, it felt right out of the gate. Didn't want to say anything, still kept working really hard. You know, I've got 3 albums to learn. 6 songs is not enough, you know. And so I was just working really hard, and I really did not mind having it handed to me because, you know, like, that's, like, I remember Will telling me that they had found another person, and I was like, oh, time to work even harder. So, you know, I was just working really hard, and they'd mentioned that, and it was just kind of like, he's not telling me it's completely official yet, and I respect that. You know, I'm gonna keep working.
Be happy.
They're not saying you suck, so at least that's that. And all right, keep doing it.
Felt extremely happy to be there. Felt like a good challenge every day. You know, it's, you know, still got plenty of stuff to learn, and it feels great every time we're in there. And we're having a blast. So
nice.
It's
crazy. I'm just thinking about it and seeing Kristen and Noah. It's like a brand new rhythm section about a year.
In a year.
Yep, in a year.
Which has got to be super exciting for you guys. And for you, Kristen, is it a cool in the sense that you're not the new guy anymore?
Dude, well, actually, that's the first time in my entire.
I think Chris was the first one that said
music.
That.
I'm like, I'm no longer the new guy. I've never not
Let's
been the new guy.
Let's haze the new guy, boys. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm like, come on.
But we will continue to only haze Chris.
Oh, you're the Jason Newstead.
I'm pretty sure the first thing I said to Chris was a dig.
Yeah.
That's what got you the job.
No, like that was the thing. It's like I'm sitting there, we're all tuning, and like this is before we even hit a single note. I'm sitting there, my tuner sucks. Like I'm like, we're like, all right, everybody ready? I'm like, no, give me a second. He's like, always the bass player. I turn around and just glare at him like, okay, I don't hate you, but let's get this going.
Like, we're gonna get along fine.
Yeah, that was the start of it.
So what's it for you guys? Like, what have you, I don't know how to question it, but like being with guys, Windowpane's been around for a while, and here you are now, the new guys in the band. What have you learned by being in a band with Tony and Glenn? And then on the flip side, I want to hear from Tony and Glenn. What have you learned about being in a band with two new guys in Windowpane?
Just shut up and look pretty. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't figured that one out yet.
Well, you're failing at both, bro.
That's not nice, man.
But yeah, there's a lot to learn, and these guys clearly have been doing it and doing it right. So just really happy to be able to watch it done right.
Well, it's really cool too, because like going in, like I've just had nothing but dysfunctional bands and everything.
Yeah,
I come from a dysfunctional home. But like watching how the
foster child,
yeah, just working how everything, like seeing how everything works. Like the second I walked into the band, I was just like, oh, cool, this is how it's supposed to be. We're like working on something. Like somebody has something that they're not liking, and instead of anybody taking it personally, you know, we're just sitting there working through it. Not only that, just like learning everything that they're doing just outside of just the music itself. It's just sitting there and sucking in so much just knowledge of
That's
how
cool.
the scene should be work, like just how it should be going. And it's awesome. Like, I have no other way to put it other than just I'm just going to shut up and look pretty. Like, I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to watch and suck everything in.
Well, yeah. That's how I've gotten into bands too. That's how we started this podcast.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, drop a cannon.
How's it going?
So for you guys, Tony and Glenn, what have you learned about being with new guys, having new blood, fresh energy?
Well, it was definitely. Well, God, man, I guess I can say that when Mark had kind of made his choice, it had been coming for a while. And so feeling that kind of energy, and once again, Mark had a kid, you know, there's a bunch of stuff going on in his life and everything. And when the band is doing big stuff and there's a guy in the band who's not as excited as everyone else, you know, that starts to kind of lay a damp blanket over everything.
Like a black cloud kind of,
you know, yeah. And so when Chris joined, he was so excited, and it was just, he was always on point, never showed up to rehearsal drunk or anything like that. You know, I mean, he was definitely there and 100% there. And at that time is when we realized that Mark had really checked out a long time before he actually left, you know, and Mark had even told us, I mean, to his word, a year and a half before he quit, he said, guys, I'm giving it till July 2017. And he did.
Wow.
And he did. Mark stuck to it. Now, of course, when we had that conversation a year and a half earlier, we could tell he was already kind of on the, you know, he was like, man, this is rough. You know, I mean, even though we do these exciting shows, it's rough. And Mark had checked out for a while. So when Chris joined, it was definitely this brand new energy. Here's this guy who's super excited. Suddenly rehearsals and everything band related just felt like it should. It's like, wow, we're all really excited to be here. This is fun.
That's contagious too.
Yeah, completely. And vibe wise, everything definitely changed. And Sean was on that page too. You know, Sean was on that point. Sean's thing was different. Sean just kind of, you know, these touring and all this new agency, these tours, all this stuff is about to change for us. And Sean went, ugh, you know, which looking back, we're really glad he did it then rather than halfway through our next tour or something.
Where all of a sudden he's like, I need a flight back home.
Yeah. And so, yeah, gosh, we've only been jamming with you for how long, Noah?
It's been like 5 weeks.
It's like 5 weeks, and the guy knows like an hour and a half worth of music tight.
Yeah, killing it.
And so, yeah, jamming with Noah. We're still in the the new phase. I'm still sniffing the Tropicana. You know?
Yeah. What about you, Glenn?
Pink Speedo?
Yeah, man.
I was going to ask if you wanted a flower, but I thought I was going to leave it alone. You know? Well, like, of course, everything Tony just said is spot on, and that was the thing when Chris joined, it really was an eye-opener to just how long ago Mark had just been keeping up the good fight with what he had left in him to do it. And you don't realize just how heavily that affects you. But man, when Chris came in and he was excited to be there and he was on point and he wanted to learn and he wanted to contribute and he wanted to, it was like, whoa. And so it was really exciting. And what bummed me out is right about the time we got things into focus where maybe the four of us could start writing, which is something we were desperate to do, Sean announced that he quit or was going to have to quit. And, you know, for me, I'm like, man, so Chris just got, now we're robbed of, okay, you know, The thing for me, like, especially having, you know, having Chris, who's still kind of, he's been with us a year, but still new to the band, and then Noah, who's very new to the band, is something I really have been really cognizant of is, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and I've had my teeth kicked in so many times I can't even keep track. And Tony and I have been playing music together now for 13 years, and he and I have been through some hellishly bad times. We have even had times when the bad times turned us on each other because we had nowhere else to turn to vent our anger and our frustration. And so you start to place it on the person that's right in front of you. And so he and I have had a rough, hard haul keeping this thing together. And the amount of disappointment, and for every success and every victory, there's brutal backstabbing, throat cutting, soul draining problems and failures that have occurred. And so now here I am in a room with Chris and Noah, who are just full of energy, excitement, drive, and focus. And I'm trying to remember not to be that bitter old bastard. That's really
That's a good point for me, man. Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it, but my usual behaviors, which Sean and Mark were pretty used to, because they're like, ah, I've been through this with this guy. I remember the battle of this and the battle of that and the battle of that and the time this. Chris and Noah are there with excitement, enthusiasm, probably wondering like, man, why's that guy got such a short fuse? Mm-hmm. And so I'm having to remember, like, man, we're all in this together. And Tony and I have had some great conversations about just, you know, just that. And trying to let the past be the past and be excited about the present. And
again, similar to a relationship. Sometimes when you get into a new relationship, you have to catch yourself. I know I did when I first started dating Sid. I can't blame her for the actions of my past girlfriends.
Dude,
exactly. But it's so easy to do that because you've just been conditioned to expect, well, when she says this, it's going to lead to her having sex with some other man. So I'm not letting you do, you know what I mean?
Like, Tony and I had this amazing conversation.
A little extreme,
where,
and please don't cheat on these guys with other men, but you know what I mean.
We were talking about the writing process, man, you know, like, because we had a great night where there was this, I had this song written, but I was playing the bridge of it was very hard to play, and I was just showing the guys that, and suddenly, boom, all of us were playing it, and then basically the song got trashed and became this whole new thing.
That's awesome.
That we all wrote together over the course of a day and a half, and it was really exciting and really cool, and that hadn't happened in a long time, and like Tony and I were having this amazing conversation when I was just talking about all these various, you know, scars that I'm carrying and that he's carrying too. As Tony says, you know, let's talk about it and try and pull these slivers out, right? And Tony was like, man, remember what it was like when we were writing Daybreak? And I was like, dude, I can't. I can't see past what it was like when we were writing the Windowpane record, which this band almost blew apart during the writing of that record. I can't remember. I couldn't see past the storm clouds anymore. And I think throughout these 13 years, Tony and I have been the guy on the other end of the, luckily, on the other end of the pendulum to pull the other guy through the dark chapter, which I think I'm definitely, you know, I've been in a dark chapter. This thing that went down with Sean really broke. It broke me. You know, I was like, how am I going to continue to do this? And then I'd step into the room with Tony and Chris and be like, dude, how can you not? You know, you've got a huge, loving fan base. There's people that care about this band, that are invested in this band, that care about this music. And you've got Tony and Chris who will stand up and fight the fight, you know. So you know, there's all that. So for me, really, with all the energy and enthusiasm that Noah and Chris bring and all the talent, you know, for me, I'm just trying to remember to put all the brutal years behind and focus on the good years ahead. That's totally where I'm at with our band right now. And honestly, Tony and I are probably shoulder to shoulder in that, man. Like, you guys are, when I said Noah was like a breath of fresh air and a light in the dark, meant it. Because I was really like, just devoid of hope. It had been burned out of me. And then we're writing an exciting new piece of music. And, you know, you guys, your enthusiasm is what's going to carry me out of this damn mess and hopefully carry the four of us all to the next level. So I'm very lucky to be playing with you guys, Chris and Noah. And of course, Tony. But I think
Tony's all
right. I think of Tony as part of me, man. You know, like Tony and I are the same guy.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
That's cool to hear, man.
That's where I'm at.
That's
man.
Really freaking awesome. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that.
There's the straight dirt.
No, dude, that's as genuine and as transparent as someone can be, I think. Yeah. And for someone who's never been in a band, if you hear that, I think they can find the similarities of being in a relationship. It's
totally.
But it's more than one person. It's a grind, but it's for your art that you love, and to hear that is really cool. And I'm happy that these guys are a part of the group, and I can't wait to hear the new music. So what I thought we could do right now is, since we don't have instruments, you each hum your parts of the new song. I'm kidding.
I'll think of a baritone. Yeah.
No. It is kind of great.
Even though. Noah, you hum your drum parts too.
He beatboxes.
A very specific rhythm. There's a super specific rhythm to the new song that became the verse, and it all came together in such a cool, organic way. I mean, which was very exciting because that hadn't happened in a while, and. You know, and so the rhythm, literally, if you write out in Morse code, it's dash, dot, dash, dot, dash, dot, dash, dot.
Oh, yeah.
So, ba-dun, 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 with this big driving mosh beat behind it. It's really a cool thing that happens. And so I looked that up in Morse code, and I think dash, dot, dash, dot T-10. Was like TN, 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 or like...
Yeah,
and I'm texting these guys all this Morse code stuff in the middle of the night, and they're like, what the F is he on?
I'm trying to sleep, dude. I gotta be up at 7.
Did Glenn take Ambien?
Yeah, man.
Well, they're getting used to me. They're, you know, like I said, I'm kind of unhinged. It's just been too much darkness. So I go from happy, good mood guy to, you know...
Dash, dot, dash, dot.
Dash, dot, dash, dot. Yeah, like, oh, God, let's just stay away from him for 20 minutes,
no dot
man.
Makes Glenn a dull boy.
Yeah, I need to be on some antidepressants or something, level my ass out, dude.
So they're going to be able to hear it at the show?
They'll hear it at the show. It's called...
Nice.
Oddly enough, it's called Another Dark Spell, which... That's just something I've been dealing with in my personal life, trying to really address some of the things that go on with me mentally and spiritually, like point blank range. And then it really fit lyrically what the band just went through. And so I was trying to basically touch on a bunch of those things subject matter wise, because once we got the music together, and I remember telling these guys, because Tony had some melodies and ideas as well. And I was like, man, I've got about 3 or 4 different subject matters now drawn out. I'm just trying to zero in on one. So let me get this together, see what you think. And if we're not loving it, fire what you've got at me. And let's see where all this goes. And so I ended up with, I made the lyrical content about that once we had developed the music. And it's just, the song's called Another Dark Spell. And it's literally about battling depression and battling darkness in your life and getting on the other side of that moment. And
they're fantastic lyrics.
Yeah, it was cool. Like really, Chris read them and was like, dude, you know. But I think it's the three of us, for Tony, Chris, and I think it hit home because what our winter was like. It was... Yeah. We were just barely hanging on, man, and I'm so glad we did. I'm lucky to be with you guys, man. I love you guys.
Love you too, bro.
Well, we have the audio of the new song for everybody to hear.
No.
That's Morse code.
There it is. Dash, dot, dash.
What do you guys think? Doesn't this rock?
I was like, oh, no, there's feedback.
Dash, dot.
No, he's...
Look, you guys know I'm a big Radiohead fan, so I wanted to just...
No, there's not enough bleeps and bloops to be a radio.
Here comes the shark.
Right? I didn't get the copy with the drums yet. But this is a rough
just
demo.
Just beat your chest.
Be killing.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Great, it's a MIDI.
That's
God.
That's bass.
Oh.
He's playing some weird bass.
This
I think
sounds
it's
like
from Europe.
The fight the dragon in Zelda.
Right? Yeah,
chapter
this is
or
like,
something.
Yeah, or, yeah, this is a video. This is video game music.
Oh, there's Tony.
Oh. Now, did you hear I played that low chord there?
Oh. That's fine. The other channel.
This is before Noah joined the band.
So you're going to be able to hear this at the Croc this Friday night.
Good God.
It's still. What the hell?
It's still going.
Now that's Zelda, dude.
What is this?
This is our uplifting bridge.
Should it come out to this?
Yeah, this is like fight music, yeah.
Welcome to Windowpane. Come out and like
Steve's head would just explode.
Enter player one.
Oh, dude, I can see the 12-inch Stonehenge.
Player two has entered the game.
What in the world version did I find?
I have no idea. It sounds like...
This has to be from Nintendo Jaws.
It's just supposed to be like Atari.
It's like the chip tunes. Oh. That's a lot better.
That got a lot better real quick.
Yeah, that was real music. What are you doing, man? Go back to N64
Jaws. Listen to the band brand new. Yeah.
That was just it's called Music Legends 8-Bit Horror Movie.
Okay, yeah, it's 8-Bit, yeah, so it's the chip tunes. They literally make it by the same way they make the music for Contra or Zelda or any of those things.
Oh, okay. They got a whole genre for that, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Some of it's really good, and a lot of it's that. There's a lot of it that is not.
That was beautiful. A lot of it's that.
Yeah.
Oh, do we want to hear the Exorcist theme?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that.
Dude,
you know, still like eerie.
It is.
Oh my,
that's pretty cool.
All right, here's Halloween.
I'm just picturing a pixelated rotating head shooting pea soup.
See, I can tell the Halloween one.
Transfers, yeah.
I found out the other day via the interweb
that
the Halloween mask is actually a mold of William Shatner's face.
It is. White. Yep. What? It's because it was just a mask that they could grab. It was just one that they could pick up somewhere.
So they used that one. Yeah.
They spray painted it white.
Yep. It's a Bill Shatner mask.
Yeah.
Dude, from like a, they're going to set a stuntman on fire or something, and it was like a mask for that. And
I thought it was like one of those cheesy costumes, like from a Halloween store.
It was.
Like that's the ones, awesome. Like, you know, I can't remember Ben London or Ben something brand? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't even know the Gremlins theme, but they have a Gremlins theme.
Do it.
Is it weird that I like square wave stuff? Like when you get really low and you hear it square wave, I dig that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the Gizmo theme. Don't we have a Spike theme?
Yeah.
No. We don't.
This just makes me want to cuddle my wife.
The Shatner,
which isn't bad. Can you just play this and
the Shatner mask was actually a Captain Kirk death mask created for Star Trek.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
My man.
So, wow. Crazy. Thank you, Wikipedia.
This is all tracked up in the upcoming window pane.
This is the upcoming. This is new window pane.
This is the new direction we're going for.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, that is something I don't know with our touring schedule, which is an exciting thing to say. But that's something that's really at the forefront of our minds, too, is getting some stuff tracked, at least an EP.
Really?
Oh, God, yes.
It was time.
Dude, we were writing, before Mark left, we had written three new songs, one of which we've still been playing on our set. It's a really incredible piece of music called Make That Call. The other two are done but needed tweaking. Then we had developed another song called Forget What You Know that's just this killer moshy crazy riff thing, and that's just sitting in a box, and now we've got this new. So we were trying desperately to get writing, and then our band kept falling apart. I don't know how else to put it, So if we can swing it, if it's possible, we might try and dip in and do something quick and dirty and get 5 or 6 new pieces of music out in the world. Because we're obviously, we should get into the vinyl on that point. We're obviously really excited about the Ted Jensen remaster of our record. It's everything we wanted it to be. We went to the best in the world to get it that way. Ted Jensen and Bob Ludwig are the two most sought after, mastering engineers in the world. And, guy did a...
They've had their hand in everything.
Almost every record
you've ever heard, they've been involved in.
So, yeah, but that album, at least for people here in our home market, for America, it's still a new record. But here in Seattle, we want to get our fans some new material. Mm-hmm. So that's something we can pull off, and especially to capture the energy of what's happening now with Noah and Chris and how quickly and how enthusiastically things are coming together. We want to grab that, We want to put that to tape.
Yeah.
So with any
luck, you have an extra couple dollars because I know Noah has a nice drum set. You didn't have to buy him a brand new drum set.
That's actually true. That is actually, man, when he showed up, we were like, I think he sent photos.
Yeah, he's like 24.
I was like, dude, he's got a really nice drum set.
A nice DW kit. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
That was an ongoing thing. When Kevin joined, we bought Kevin a new drum set. And when Sean joined, he had his dad's vintage Ludwig kit, but we dropped about $1,000 or $1,200 into making it nice and buying him some brass and stuff. So it's like every drummer we've had to invest money in. And
maybe that's the kiss of death. They'll buy him anything.
You know, I was telling Mike Cotta about that. Mike Cotta over at American Music is amazing, just an amazing drummer, an amazing human being. He's like one of the Seattle drum gods, right? And he's like, dude, listen to what you're saying. You know, you're going to buy your new drummer a drum set? And we're like, well, yeah. And he's like, you don't think there's a problem with that? You know, I'm like, what are we supposed to do, Mike? You know, and then, yeah, Noah's like, oh, I've got a really beautiful kit and brand new brass, and I'm going to come down and you know, play your music and
play it
kick
the
hell out
it.
Of it. And I'll do my homework. And, yeah, I'm serious about this.
Yeah.
And we're like, no. Can't be. Surely you jest.
I'm dreaming, right?
Yeah, no, what's
right?
your...
Tell me, right? Surely.
Of all the songs so far, what's your favorite to play?
Say, first one was Underfoot. Right now, it's probably... Probably I Never Minded, because, you know, it's got that really, really cool chorus, and then also it's got a little drum solo section in the middle of it, which is pretty fun.
Nice.
Find that one.
It's cool for us, too, to be playing a new song, because you get to hear Noah being Noah. You know, it's not Noah, you know, learning old music, but yeah, the new song, you really get to hear Noah and Chris doing what Noah and Chris do. That's really exciting.
I can't help but smile, you know, when we're playing that song.
So. It's a good one, yeah. Yeah.
So much fun.
Fans of the podcast are used to hearing this name, but God love Brett Elias, and man, you know, love you, Brett, if you're out there somewhere in the ether, which I know you are.
You're a good dude.
Love you, buddy.
You're as gooder as they get.
You're as gooder as they get. Yeah.
So it's this Friday night at the Crocodile. Windowpane's going to be playing big vinyl release show.
Yeah. It's a double album, and that's the Ted Jensen master, and we went to, what was the guy's name, Tony?
Levi Setz at Black Belt Master cut the actual vinyl master from the Ted Jensen master.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's got an old, it's like a 1947 lathe that does this. It's
I don't even know what that means. I saw the videos, and that's about as far as
it's basically this thing takes these files or something. I don't even know how it does it.
Magic.
And it basically carves in these grooves.
Wow.
And that's how this works. It still baffles me. We saw the grooves through an actual kind of microscope-looking thing. So you can look at them, and they just look like big canyons. And somehow the needle bounces
Glen
in there.
Cannon's so crazy. Yeah.
Dude, it looked like little beads of caulk or something laid out on a table.
Yeah, it's weird.
How is that even? Yeah,
and
I don't even
somehow
know.
Somehow that recreates every
somebody,
detail
yeah,
and
somebody
the
at
sound.
Some point and figured out way, I mean, what, centuries ago that this
amazing.
Is how you can make music and... You can still do that to this day. That's outstanding.
It was really fascinating.
The first was clay that they used. Clay in like a straw.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my old man, he's got an old Victrola, and he has a bunch of, they're called tins. So they did the cylinders. The original cylinders were brass cylinders that the needle would bounce on.
Yeah.
And then they did tin albums, and my pop has a bunch of tin albums.
Wow.
They sound a bit bright.
Yeah. One can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, cool. This is the this is finally the end result of a process we started pretty much 3 years ago when we started tracking this record.
Because this was a Kickstarter.
Yeah, we did a full Kickstarter.
That.
You know, our fans, God bless them. You know, we had $23,000 come in, and we went to London Bridge on that old 73 Neve board there, straight to 2-inch tape. And the goal was to make a legit label quality record. Straight old school analog. And so we took
that's
this thing.
Cool.
Glenn's showing us a picture
Sorry,
of
I'm just
of
showing
the
a picture of what the vinyl actually looks like.
It's like a bunch of worms.
Of the lines.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
And it sits in those little canyons, bounces
Weird.
Back and forth. And
it's backlit. That's why you can kind of see through it. And it's grossly enlarged. You can't imagine the magnification.
That's nuts.
Yeah,
yeah.
How does that recreate the sound of Glenn's voice?
I have no idea.
And every nuance of the guitar and the ping of the drums.
It'd have been funny if you saw like a little Glenn in there and a little you.
Tiny one.
Hello.
If you look close enough, you can see his face. But, so we can finally, you know, and to hear it sonically at this point, that was the goal from the get-go. And it took a long time to get here. You know, when we finally had the record mastered, when it was done, you know, we went through 9 masters, and our album release was coming up. And so we had actual deadline on that. So it's not like we could keep going. And finally, Glenn and I were like, oh, I guess that's the coolest one. You know, we weren't super stoked about it, considering especially how much money we'd just spent. And so then a year later is when we're like, man, let's finish it. Let's do it right. It cost a ton of money, but we sent it to Ted Jensen. I mean, he did Hotel California back in the day and a ton of records since, from Michael Jackson to Green Day to Disturbed to, you know, I mean, a ton of fantastic sounding records. So now that we can finally get it out on vinyl, and we only had 500 printed and about 100 or so of them went to Kickstarter people.
Yep.
So it's a limited deal. You guys will be able to get them at the Croc, and they will also, they're available on our website right now for pre-order at windowpane.net.
Ooh.
And there's a few of them. They're going to go fast.
Might be a good thing to do.
It's the first edition, So we don't know if we're going to be able to afford to get more printed or not. If we do, they're going to be different. They're obviously going to have a different band photo in it. Things are going to be, you know, so this is the limited edition of the vinyl, and it's... a double album as well, because during the process we found out that anything over 15 minutes aside, you lose sound quality on.
Yeah.
We had no idea. Yeah. So, of course, as soon as we found that out, we're like, great, double the cost on everything.
Why couldn't we have made a 30-minute record?
Yeah, so once, but yeah, so it's a double album. We spared no expense anywhere. I mean, quality-wise, it is top quality. Through and through, it's, I mean, even the biggest audiophiles will be happy with it. And it's only $40.
It looks amazing, too, man. Like, just...
Well, Tony killed himself. Yeah. Like, he would, because they do stuff, I mean, Tony should explain it. I only know what I would get every third day. Like, how's it going, man? He'd be like, dude, let me tell you. But he would get this thing all together, and they'd send it to him, and they'd be like, oh, we need, you know, tell them a little bit about what you went through to create just what people are getting their hands on, man.
Well, lots of the guys who make vinyls, and especially the places that were recommended to us from, like Levi Setz at Black Belt Mastering, who cut the vinyl master from the Ted Jensen master, he recommended these places where these guys are the best and they're very authentic. Well, they are so authentic that when they do the graphics and everything, they like to do that old school as well. So you can't just send them like a regular old digital file like I do with disc makers, you know, for all of our CD covers and everything like this. So I'd get all the graphics done up, you know, which that takes a long time and everything anyway, and get it all laid out. You know, everybody's happy. It's all cool. Send that in. They're like, oh, yeah, dude. Well, the machines that we use, could you convert it to this? And I'm like, I've never even heard of that.
Oh, no.
You know, and then it's like, how am I going to convert it to this? Time to go to YouTube and do this stuff. There was one company, in fact, that I ended up calling Levi, and I'm like, please send me to another one. But there was one company, they wanted photo prints for your album cover, because that's the way they did it in 1972, and that's the way we do it, damn it.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was seriously, they wanted photos. Like, oh, okay, so I'm going to take my digital files and take a photograph of it and send it. Well, that's the way we do it. That's the way they did it in 1972. It's like, dude, we want a high-quality vinyl. Nice. Do you have to play
2018.
The go-back-in-time game, dude? This is weird, man. How old's your bathrobe? So, you know, it's just, it was a frustrating process in that regard. And so then finally, you know, they're like, okay, well, all your text files have to be these kind of files and stuff like that. And that's the thing, too. Like, I do all the graphics. I made a film, all that stuff like that. I never went to school for this stuff.
You learned it.
I just learned it. I get on the computer. I'm like, this is my vision of what we should have. And then the next question, okay, how is this going to happen?
Right. I can't keep hiring somebody to do it.
Yeah. It's like making that film, you know, sitting there, okay, here's, I guess this is the pro, you know, Adobe Pro something or other. And
welcome to the world of video editing.
Oh, yeah. Premiere Pro, sit down there. Of course, I open it up. I have no clue how to even upload a photo to it.
Yeah.
You know, and then start it and through the game. And so once again, making vinyl, well, now they throw me another curveball. And it's like, well, dude, I've been doing CD cover. Yeah, we don't do it that way. Our printer is from...
I'm telling you, man. Like, I'd reach out to Tone and be like, dude, I'm having the worst day. And he'd be like, really? Let me tell you what I've been doing. And I'm like, dude.
Never mind. I just burnt my mac and cheese.
You got to imagine. yeah, right? Exactly. My coffee was a little too hot. Like, you got to imagine the text where I literally reply to a big text string. It just says, oh, dude, ellipsis. I'm sorry. and he'd be like, it's all good, man.
And when
it's
you
all
can, good. And when you can make Glenn speechless, that says something.
Oh, I just was like, there is nothing. Even in the time it would take him to explain to me how I could help him, he's already got it fixed.
So I knew it's like, I just got to watch him burn.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do for him, you know. But you look at the quality of the product. You know, God bless Mike Savoia, who just did our most recent group shot.
He's awesome.
We love Mike, man. But he got his hands on one, I think, because he was one of the pledges for our Kickstarter program. And he got out on social media and was like, this is a nicer vinyl release than most major label artists are putting out in the world. The quality of the packaging, the imagery, the gloss.
And Mike's a giant vinyl nerd.
He's a vinyl nerd.
Okay, cool.
And he put that on Instagram, and he was like, this is one of the nicest vinyl presentations I've seen in years. And I'm not talking local. I'm talking even with major labels. And he said, for God's sake, why aren't these guys signed? And then he tagged it at Capitol Records, at Epic Records, at... Like, we were like, Mike,
bless him,
thanks, man. But that should give you some kind of an idea of the type of energy that Tony poured into making this. Like, I don't want to say it's really nice. I mean, this is a quality product. It is gorgeous. It's gorgeous, dude. Like, when the palette, you gotta love that, the palette of albums showed up at my house. And Tony hit me up, and I'm like, hey, man, the vinyls are here. He's like, cool, man, because, you know, it's a palette. And he's like, well, I'll head down and help you move them. And I'm like, no, I got it, man. I'm already halfway done. I'm just moving them down to my basement. He's like, no, dude. I need to see one.
I am coming down.
And I was like,
The amount of work that I've put
that's right.
This.
Come on down, man. I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah, come on down. Yeah.
Feel free to load them onto your basement, but I'm still coming over.
Yeah, pretty much. I was trying to do him a solid. I'm like, dude, you don't have to drive all the way down here. I'll have them all in the basement by the time you get here. He's like, you don't understand, man. I need to see
one. Yeah, I'm not coming to help.
Yeah.
I was so nervous, too. I was so nervous. It's like, going to open this up and just be like, oh, you are kidding me, you know. And Glenn watched me freak out and kill myself by putting my head through the window. You know, just, yeah,
he cut his own throat on glass. Just calling Tony's wife. Hey, so it's Glenn.
Got some bad news.
So here's the thing.
Got some good news and some bad news. Exactly.
We got the vinyls.
Yeah. He's going to be okay.
Probably. The good news is you don't have to pay car insurance on that Mustang anymore. The bad news is
you gotta find yourself a new man.
Yeah.
And we have to find a new guitarist. This is just great. Yeah. Well, dude, congratulations to you guys. Noah, welcome to the fold. This is really
welcome.
Awesome.
I'm excited to hear it.
I'm pretty damn pumped for you guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thanks. So how soon until you could let everyone know about this big tour?
Go ahead.
So we're going to be on this tour with this well-known rock act, and we fit fairly well. In fact, I'd say we probably fit better than we did with Five Finger Death Punch.
Their fans are going to love us.
You know, and better than we fit with Queensryche. And both those tours, you know, we were well-received. And, that's in September and October. The thing is we can't say who it is until they announce the tour. Of course, it's their tour. They're the headliner. So until that's
very
all finalized and everything like that,
come on, let us do it. We have a vinyl release party.
Everything's locked in place. I mean, you know, there's even some monies being held in escrow and stuff like that. I mean, it is a done deal. And, you know, Tony was really pressing our agent, like, look, if we can fully announce before the croc, it'll be a great feather in our cap promotionally coming into our vinyl release party.
Yeah.
And he was like, and so our agent was trying. And he'd come back, he's like, dude, I'm working on it. And dude, I'm working on it. He's like, man, guys, look, and we're like, understood, okay. And he's like, but he was like, what you can do is you can announce markets. So you can announce all the cities, but you just, you know. And so we did, we told people what we could. You know, it's kind of not dissimilar from years ago when we did New Day and we didn't have contracts in hand.
Oh, my God.
And we were going out with Queensryche, but we couldn't say anything. Like, literally, because we didn't have contracts in hand.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
So like, here we are on Channel 4 on the TV station saying,
we're going to be at a thing.
I'm going to Disneyland.
Doing a thing and pay attention.
She's
to
like,
stuff.
So this is so exciting. So where are you guys touring? Who are you touring with?
Places.
Like,
well, it's an interesting thing.
Well, at that point, actually, what had happened was we were working on an independent tour and the whole thing fell through and we had no tour at all. But we were working on getting Queensryche locked in at the time. So we were on TV promoting a tour, and at the time, we didn't know we had anything.
So fake it till you make it.
Big time, fake it till you fake it. But this time, like I said, man, it's locked and loaded, and Tony really, you know, he was on our agent like every third day, like, dude, I'm not trying to be a pest, but this is why, if we can just announce it, it'll really get people excited about what's going on. And so we figured out what we could and couldn't say and said what we could. But I think between the tour announcement, the fact that the vinyl's sick, and Noah... and a brand new song written with Noah. Hopefully people will come out in droves because, as old Morpheus said, we are still here.
Yeah.
Better than ever.
We are still here.
And I'm the one.
For 200 years, the record industry has been trying to kill us. For 200 years.
Zion will...
Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we'll be back. I'm not sure we're back next week. I got to figure some stuff out.
Oh,
it's the 3rd of July, and I might.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
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 Yeah. That happened quickly.
I know.
Yeah. I'm going to be gone 4th of July, by the way.
I'm going to buy a bunch of fireworks. So.
Oh, my man. He'll show up to rehearsal Chris. Thursday with two missing fingers.
Chris, you're still in Tacoma, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you're going to buy fireworks.
Hell yeah.
You know how this is.
I still have a bunch from last year just sitting in the back seat of my car.
Yeah, so does everyone else in Tacoma.
It's in my car.
That's a good place for them.
It's very safe.
It's got really hot and then my car's on fire.
Totally fine. Yeah, totally good place to keep your fireworks.
When somebody really annoys me on the road, just like
bottle rockets.
I got bottle rockets, candles.
Roman candles?
Oh, yeah.
He's particularly hard on cyclists, which I applaud.
You got to go to that with the Ill Eagle fireworks.
Ill Eagle right on River Road.
I do, actually. I just for the name.
It's the greatest name ever.
Yes, dude, the Ill Eagle. I like it.
All right, let's get out of here. So maybe you'll hear a new podcast next week. Maybe you won't. Maybe in a couple weeks, Chris will be missing a couple digits. Maybe he won't.
I lost a toe.
So make sure you keep the fingers you need to play the bass. That's all that matters, right?
Join us Friday night, guys. Tickets are on sale. You can go to any of Windowpane's Facebook presences. You can find the event page very easily. We have ticket links there. There's various packages. You can get your ticket plus a reserved copy of the vinyl.
Nice.
If you're down in Tacoma, you can buy a package, which is your entry fee, a reserved copy of the vinyl, and a free party bus ride from Tacoma to the show and then back to the Tacoma area. So all those packages are out there on our event page.
Is that with the Lion Pride folks?
That's with Lion Pride. That's with Levo and those guys.
And it comes with party favors.
Yeah.
Everything comes with party favors with Lion Pride.
That's right. Truth.
So, yeah, you've got more than enough ways to get access to this event. It's going to be a big one, and we're not sure when we're playing Seattle again, too. So be there. Join us. This is a big one for us.
It's Friday night at the Crocodile. Check out Windowpane. And as always, thank you guys for listening, and stay positive. Oh, look at that. Bam.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.